You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
The Money Show with Bruce Whitfield on Cape Talk, your number one news and talk station.
The Money Show, brought to you by Old Mutual, a licensed financial services provider. Today is the day. Get great financial advice. Do great things. Boy, thank goodness it's Friday. The markets can't do you any more damage this week. You can rest in, the reassurance that Monday will be the beginning of a new week and hopefully a better week, because it has been diabolical. The currency has fallen sharply. Markets have fallen sharply. If you're a shareholder in companies like Tiger Brands and Goldfields, you're a lot poorer this evening than you were on Monday, and that's as a result of bad news flow coming out of both of those firms. We'll reflect on that and other stories this week on The Money Show this evening. We'll play the Brutal Biz Quiz. We'll bring you some of the best bits from the week that has been, and also remind you about our Solutionist Thinking podcast, because that is getting really good traction. I think that's a good online word. And I'll tell you a story about a new business that's starting up from some guys you've heard of before. All of that is coming up on The Money Show.
The Money Show on your number one news and talk station.
Now, we've been keeping tabs of the battle between Steinhoff Africa Retail, Star, now known as Pepkor. I think it changed its name this week. Maybe it was last week. Things have been busy. But Pepkor and the founders and ex-managers of Techie Town. Techie Town was sold to Steinhoff about 3 years ago, and directors were locked into contracts that would have seen them get value from their Steinhoff shares at the end of an agreed period. Then Christo Wiese and Markus Juster restructured Steinhoff and put Techie Town into what is now known as Pepkor, and the management team there's incentive stayed in Steinhoff shares, which was fine. It was fine up until early December last year, when the share price of Steinhoff went off a cliff, of course, and suddenly you've got these guys working within Steinhoff Africa Retail, Pepkor, and their shares in Steinhoff were worth absolutely nothing. Tensions rose, the disagreements started, there were disagreements between the management teams of Pepkor and of Techie Town as to how the business should be run, and suddenly about 6 weeks ago there was a huge walkout, more than 110 people from the George headquarters of the company, and they've been very quiet up until it emerged last week that the team that grew Techie Town is developing a brand new concept. And that concept, they're going to call Mr. Techie. Bernard Mostert is the co-founder of Mr. Techie, on the line to us from George this evening. Was this the plan, Bernard, from the start? You'd walk out and you would launch a competitor.
Bruce, good evening. Not at all. It has been an interesting 6 weeks for us. It has been an interesting 8 months for a lot of South Africans. And I think ultimately what it came down to is that we accept that Steinhoff will be a moment in history in South Africa, and that it will be remembered for certain actions. And we looked at it and we thought, you can either be a victim here, you can be a spectator, you can be a participant, and maybe if you take action, you can end up as a hero. So we would rather be remembered for what we've created than for what we've lost. And we obviously, under Brahm's leadership, have created a previous business, and now we lost that, and now we're looking to create another. And that's an exciting story for us, and there's good energy amongst us as we move forward.
So have you now formally employed the, I think it was about 110 people who joined, who followed you out of the door at the offices of Techie Town those 6 weeks ago? Have you employed all those 110 people in Mr. Techie?
No. As a matter of fact, we haven't employed anyone formally yet. And also, a handful of people of the, it was 116 people originally that resigned. A handful of those people have pursued other employment opportunities. I think about two or three that came to us and said, you know, I've got a really great opportunity in another industry, or I've got a really great opportunity with another retailer. And we encourage them to go. But as for the majority of it, those people are the beneficiaries of what is known as the Techie Town Founders Trust. And the Techie Town Founders Trust have been paying distributions to them, and they will be alongside us investors in Mr. Techie if they choose to take up employment when an employment opportunity arises. I think it's probably not the most clever strategy to start with 110 employees without a store. So We would first start up the stores, we would grow the business, and we would employ people as we go along. In the meantime, the people that are the beneficiaries of the Founders Trust can remain in that position until such time as we may have an opportunity for them.
Because I've seen graphic markups of color schemes and logos. How far down the track are you? I mean, if this wasn't the intention when you walked out 6 weeks ago and you're starting a brand new concept, then this is still in certainly an embryonic stage.
Yes, absolutely. I think a lot of discussions have happened behind the scenes. We looked at certain strategic partnerships. We looked at investing in businesses. And then all of a sudden, in the last 10 days, it was like the train got on the rails and we got momentum. And one of our suppliers actually came up with the logo for us after we had acquired some time ago the name and trademark Mr. Techie, and we were off and running, and we've had a lot of support from our landlords and suppliers in terms of starting up, because there's deep history there across those individuals that are involved with Mr. Techie.
You had acquired the trademark of Mr. Techie some time ago. In which legal entity did that asset sit?
Mr. Techie is held by Braamfontein & Steyn's
in his personal capacity.
Holding company.
In his personal capacity?
No. In his holding company.
Okay, so it's got nothing to do. It couldn't be argued by Pepkor that actually, hold on a second. If you guys have got this particular trademark, it belongs to us, because they must be watching with a degree of trepidation what you're up to.
No. Mr. Techie was actually registered before Techie Time, and it belonged to a competitor of ours, and somebody who became a friend over time, and somebody who we respect also as an entrepreneur, Reinhardt. And Reinhardt sold Mr. Techie to us 3 weeks ago, so it was never part
okay.
of the structure.
All right. Again, it's beginning to come together. So you now own the brand of Mr. Techie. You've acquired that. You're doing the artwork. You're doing the mock-ups, the store mock-ups, and all of that sort of thing. Do you have a target date for your first opening?
Yes, we would like to open 10 to 15 stores at the end of November, and we may sneak one in earlier. Certainly Braam is chomping at the bits to get going, and it's fun. It feels like the old days where everything is happening yesterday, and we like that. So end of November, but maybe one or two sooner.
So is the idea to take Techie Town on head on? These are rivals of yours. You know the way in which the business is structured. You know the way in which it's worked. If you put a store nearby, an old store, maybe those guys, if they decide they'd like to work for you, well, might leave Techie Town and come and work for you. I mean, what's the thinking without obviously giving Pepkor your blueprint?
No, listen, I think there's no blueprint in retail. I mean, it's been around for centuries, so we're obviously going to have to be disciplined, and we're going to have to understand our market, which we believe we do. It's not a competing concept to Techie Town. I've said before that we wish Techie Town well. It's a big part of our life's work, and there's still a lot of people that work there that have invested heavily in it. So we don't want to see it fail. Obviously, also still have a court case going on to regain it. So the concept of Mr. Techie is, we believe, unique in that it brings a few new concepts together, and it is it will be positioned in a place that is a different offering to what we were used to in Techie Town.
So, how will it be different? I mean, it is, I suppose, pointless creating a carbon copy of Techie Town that already exists. So, how, as a customer, how would one have a different experience going into a Mr. Techie, the new concept, versus the old one?
I think the first point that you'll see, and I actually forwarded you on WhatsApp some images which you're free to share on your social media, about the store look. You'll see it looks completely different to a Techie Town. Techie Town was a very deep footwear supplier. Mr. Techie is a head-to-feet supplier. The world has changed in that respect, and Mr. Techie will offer more of an apparel offering. It will still be very heavily geared in terms of footwear, because there's a lot of brand value in footwear, but it is certainly not a discount footwear retailer.
So it's coming in more upmarket?
No, not more upmarket, but broader. a broader general apparel and footwear offering.
Do you see yourself? Do you see an opportunity now that Edcon is going away from brands, for example, that there is a gap in the retail market where perhaps you could bring in some Levi's and you could bring in those sort of international brands on a smaller scale than Edcon perhaps did, and Stutterford certainly is out of the market now as well.
It's interesting, you know. I think a big part of Techie Town's original growth when Braam grew it was because of Edcon's then slow demise. So it's a very good argument that you have. And I do think that there will always be great retailers. And nowadays, there are also great retailers online and in omnichannel. And that there would be opportunity for brands to support and partner with people that understand their brand and bring it to life. And that's where we're excited that we're going to announce one or two partnerships that we know don't exist yet and that we will bring to execution for those brand owners.
You do know HSBC this week said we're probably in recession. They say that Stats SA is likely to report second quarter growth was negative after a horrible first quarter, and you plan to launch 50 new retail stores into a recessionary environment.
Yeah, you know, Bruce, we were previously involved in a business in which we launched 45 stores in 2008.
Yeah, I remember that well, yeah.
If you're negative about what is going on around you, and without being careless, you're probably not going to create much. But the reality is we must be optimistic, all of us as South Africans, because this is our story and that's what we're writing. And we, as I said earlier, we would rather be remembered for creating something than for somebody who ended up as a spectator or victim.
You mentioned a moment ago legal disagreements, and there have been a number over the last 6 weeks or so, and dating back to January when Braam van Aestien resigned from Pepkor, and he's claiming damages from Pepkor on that basis. And you suggested earlier that you're still fighting with Pepkor for control of Techie Town back. I mean, is that something that is still on the cards?
Yeah, well, we believe so, you know, but we respect and honour the court process, and that must run its course. Pepkor is trying to distance themselves very far from Steinhoff, but you know, you probably can't distance yourself that far from your mother or your father, because that's just how a family works, you know. So Steinhoff controls 71% of Pepkor, and we are in a fight with Steinhoff, and we're in a fight with Pepkor, and that will continue. Would we have elected to be in that fight? No. Are we going to fight it until we've got an outcome that we accept? Yes.
The head office battle, Braam van Aestien, of course, sent, I think you were still CEO of Techie Town. He sent you the eviction notice when you were CEO of Techie Town to say, okay, fine, I own this building, get out. Pepkor pushed back against that. Who's in the building?
Right now, Pepkor is in the building without a rental agreement. The leases for both the premises were cancelled at the end of June, and they expired at the end of July. They haven't vacated it. It's a tragic situation in terms of the fact that the people who own that building can no longer access it, not even for insurance purposes or for general maintenance work. So we see certainly a need to do that, and we have certain assets at risk there in terms of Braam's companies that are now at risk there. And, you know, By all measures of the definition, the building has been hijacked and they are squatting there.
Ben Mustard, strong words, co-founder of Mr. Techie. Mr. Techie, an existing brand bought from a friend in the last 3 weeks. The artwork is done. The shop layouts are in concept stage. And another George-based startup in the world of fashion. And clearly, no love lost still between Steinhoff Africa Retail, now known for since recently as Pepkor once again, as they seek to distance themselves from the Steinhoff roots. The Techie Town founders going into a brand new concept. Expect to see a store or two and before November, but certainly by the end of November, a total of 15 as an initial part of a rollout of a new concept. Penny in Harbay says, Mr. Techie is a sexist name. What about Techie People? I suppose then we'd have to change the name of Mrs. Balls Chutney to Balls Chutney, which doesn't work for me, frankly. I don't know if I'd be able to have Balls Chutney on my plate at dinner time. Mr. Price would have to become Price People. Penny, I think you're fighting a losing battle on that one.
The Money Show.
The Markets.
Yeah, dare we talk about markets? Markets have been absolutely shambolic and horrible and awful and difficult and challenging and confusing and complicated. Andrew Bryson looking 10 years older than the last time I saw him a couple of weeks ago. You have aged, Andrew Bryson. The grey hair suits you.
Yeah, certainly, Bruce. And I think I was echoing your sentiment from earlier. It's thank goodness it's Friday. It has been a tough week.
It's been a very, very choppy week, and a very choppy week of personal wealth destruction. Whether you might not know that you own shares, but you do. If you have a pension fund, if you have a job, if you're part of the government employees pension fund, whatever it might be, you're poorer today than you were on Monday.
Yeah, for sure. And certainly, you know, if you're invested in emerging markets, like South Africa, you've seen your assets, come under a bit of pressure.
Yep, most certainly do. The rand threw 15 to the dollar twice this week. Many of our commentators saying, don't worry, it's one of these things. The rand blows out, the rand comes back. It just feels this time as if it's a little bit more serious. An emerging markets problem, and then on top of that, South Africa not getting to grips with its own problems.
Yeah, look, I think this week is certainly been sort of the story following on from Turkey and the diplomatic row there and the impact on emerging markets. You know, South Africa is one of the most liquid emerging market currencies. So, you know, the knock-on effects when we do have these sort of higher risk-off sentiment, so the rand does tend to come under quite a lot of pressure. So I think that's the focus. I think there's concern about emerging market contagion and, you know, whether we're going to see more of it. But yeah, I think markets are watching what's playing out in Turkey closely.
Yeah, it's horrible. But let's focus on a bit more closer to home. Famous Brands giving consideration to strategic options relating to a subsidiary that may have a material impact on the price of the company's share price. That's a long, complicated way of saying we can't wait to get rid of Gourmet Burger Kitchen. At least that's how I read between the lines there.
It seems so, and it seems that's what the market's saying as well. I mean, the price, I think it was sort of closing flat to slightly up. So I think the market's probably saying if this is the case and they are looking to exit or re-look at that asset, that UK asset, that's positive because that's been a big drag over the last year or so.
Yeah, Famous Brands looking to get out of a business in the UK, it would seem. Libstar, now boy, oh boy, oh boy, there are a lot of very angry people about Libstar. Brand new listing on the JSE fairly recently. The results are going to be terrible. And it needs to change its name from Libstar to Lemon, because I was looking at people's faces today and they had that sort of same expression as Libstar shareholders, that they're bitten into a big, fat, juicy lemon.
Yeah, I actually haven't gone through
it's catastrophic. I mean, here's a brand new listing. I was just sketching for you broadly, and came to the market at a very high multiple, lots of big promises, and those promises haven't been delivered on, and that's a concern. One you may have seen, and certainly one that'll be on your radar, is the construction sector. And today, two quite substantial construction companies in their own right at various points in history applying for voluntary suspension of trade from the JSE, both Basil Reed and Esau, both saying, okay, please, can we just have a little bit of respite?
Yeah, look, I think that's certainly an industry that is, you know, it's been under pressure for a while, and we've had to see consolidation there, and some of the, the guys that built up during the better times, you know, the margins just aren't there in the industry. So some of the players are going to be squeezed out. One hopes that the better players, you know, manage to survive through this.
Should we take the rest of the year off, or is it worth coming back to work on Monday?
I'm certainly still positive. I do think the second quarter GDP is going to show further, further weakness, whether that's a contraction or just very moderate growth. I certainly don't think we're going to see a great figure. But I still think there's a lot of positive stuff happening on the ground. We've seen, you know, changes at the state-owned enterprises. I think going through an election year next year, hopefully we see some of these decisions that are happening at the moment bear fruit, and you know, South Africa get on a more positive footing.
My thanks to Andrew Bryson, who is our market commentator this evening. He is with Sanlam Private Wealth.
The Money Show is brought to you by Old Mutual, a licensed financial services provider. Today's the day. Get great financial advice. Do great things.
Welcome to the Friday evening edition of The Money Show. What we like to do is to replay you extracts from The Money Show that we've had this week, some of our best bits. And we like to tantalize you to listen to our podcasts because it is going into the weekend. You get a bit of extra time. You can listen to the Solutions Thinking podcast, The Money Show podcast, the Personal Finance podcast as well, which are the best bits of Warren Ingram. And there's so much that we've got on offer for you. So the idea is that you go, oh, missed that. Oh, share that with somebody and give you a good sense of what's been happening on The Money Show this week. And very often, if you pay enough attention, you get answers to the Brutal Biz Quiz, which is coming up before Eyewitness News at 7 o'clock this evening. So there's lots to come in the next 20 so minutes on The Money Show. Moreno Mutupi with sport in a couple of moments' time as well. On your next Money Show, I have the author, the actor, the activist, Peter Dirk Ays for Make Money Mondays. Looking forward to seeing Peter and Vestact's Paul Theron. We'll review the business book, Big Mistakes, The Best Investors and Their Worst Investments. It's by an author called Michael Batnick. Looking forward to doing that on Monday. The next Money Show, of course, here on 702 and Cape Talk. And all the best bits coming up in just a few minutes' time. Your social media feeds this evening, 31702, 31567. If there are any questions that you want to have, share with us. If the Rand falls, let's bend down and pick it up, as a certain minister said, says Bernard in Pringle Bay. I think it's gone a bit too far for that. Penny concedes that I was right. Mr. Techie can stay Mr. Techie because we can't change Mr. Price and Mrs. Balls because it just gets too messy and too confusing. So thank you for that, Penny. And that's some of your SMSs coming through this evening on this Friday night. It's going to be a great weekend ahead. Of course, temperatures in Joburg dropping over the weekend. I think Cape Town's headed for a dry-ish weekend as well after a little bit of rain midweek.
702 The Money Show. Bruce is on Twitter at Bruce Business.
Time for the best bits of The Money Show. You can get our podcast, of course, from iOS. You can get it on Android. You can get it via our website, wherever you get your podcasts usually. Or you can ask the smart electronic person on your device to play you The Money Show podcast. Sean Abrams' appointment as National Director of Public Prosecutions, constitutionally invalid. A huge story this week, a big breakthrough in restoring confidence in the legal system. And a couple of you challenged us and said, why are you talking about this on The Money Show? And I made the point that it's absolutely critical in terms of business confidence, in terms of consumer confidence and national confidence, that we have a prosecuting authority that is seen and is seen to be and is independent. Certainly it's the view of the Business Leadership South Africa Chief Executive Bonang Mohale, who explained why President Cyril Ramaphosa is taking so long, and again in a barrage of criticism, that Cyril Ramaphosa is taking so long to make progress when he's cleaning up house.
The president is playing chess. These detractors are playing checkers. South Africans must have a full appreciation that it takes 3 years to build a solid house with a foundation, 30 seconds to bring it down. 10 years of state capture will take us 5 years to rip it out completely, another 5 years to properly capacitate the institutions, state-owned institutions, Chapter 9, institutions like the NPA will take slightly longer. I think we need to be patient. All of us are frustrated, but we understand as business people that these things take time. Lastly, the president said this is going to be the country of laws, not of men. And he has been an embodiment and a manifestation of that. He could have easily gotten rid of Sean Abrams, but he said, you know what, let the law follow its course. It's a good example. Yes, it's frustrating. It takes slightly longer, but hey, Rome was never built in a day.
Yeah, Bonang Mohale speaking earlier on, ever optimistic Bonang Mohale, concerned about the future of the country, but seeing some progress. Yeah, hedge funds have always been controversial products. A lot of people don't understand hedge funds designed, or at least they should be, designed to make you money, but also protect the downside of losses in financial markets. And when times are good, they are very, very good, particularly for hedge fund managers, because they make things called performance fees. They outperform a particular benchmark. They make serious money. Now, Magda Vizhitska, who is a very important person in the financial services sector, she's the chief executive of Signia. It's an asset manager based in Cape Town. This week announced that she was shutting down all hedge fund products, slamming this type of investment as being, at best, a money-making racket. Strong words indeed from Magda Vizhitska.
I just don't understand how any hedge fund in town, And, you know, I'm right in front of me, I've got a spreadsheet, which I'm happy to make public, of hedge funds that we monitor, where, you know, I'm looking at returns over 2 years of negative 11%, negative 2%, negative 7%. How annualized? You know, how can you justify the fees that you have been charging as a hedge fund? Because do not confuse the charges of a fund of hedge funds, which is just, you know, a slither on top, and the charges of the underlying hedge funds, which have, you know, which are third-party managers to us, so we never benefited from those fees. And then how can you justify delivering a return of minus 7% over 2 years, minus 11% over the last 12 months, you know, where you have promised investors that you will protect their capital?
Do we need an investigation into the hedge fund industry, Mike?
You know, I certainly think that, you know, more attention needs to be paid by the regulators. And look, they do have a department, and they have formulated a department, and, doing reviews of hedge fund managers. We actually met with them a couple of weeks ago. But what needs to be regulated is the way that these products are actually marketed to investors. Because given the evidence, I'm not sure what you're marketing. You know, before it was this promise of capital preservation. Well, you're not delivering on the promise of capital preservation. You're not beating cash.
Yeah, Magda Vizhitskap thinking that hedge funds should be consigned to the dustbin of history. That didn't upset the hedge fund industry, and one of the most outspoken members of the hedge fund industry is hedge fund manager Jean-Pierre Verster, who works with Fairtree Capital. He came to the defense of the industry and tried to poke holes in Magda's argument.
Yeah, she even used the word racket, Bruce, which is an illegitimate enterprise or a fraudulent scheme. Very strong language. And when anyone uses strong language, I usually see if I can find out what is the intention of the person. And when I look at why Signia exited the hedge fund industry, I received a document this afternoon which said they're going to replace that with things like cryptocurrencies and fourth industrial revolution ETFs. So what is clear for me is Signia have exited the hedge fund industry, but they are positioning themselves to replace their hedge fund investments with investments into their own products.
And, I mean, and then, so you say you're seeing then a bit of a conspiracy at play here?
Well, I just think that it's not necessarily an objective view. It's not a view based on fact. And that is why I've been in the media to try and bring the facts to the fore that investors know what they're dealing with. And like I said, now with hedge funds being out in the open, everything is very transparent. And I would suggest that anyone who makes use of a fund of fund provider make sure exactly what fees are being charged and if the fund of funds is investing into their own products underlying the fund.
Jean-Pierre Vassad responding to Magda Vizhitska last night. Now, Solutionist Thinking with RMB, it's a 13-part podcast series that focuses on great South African minds thinking differently, going against the flow when it comes to dealing with big problems. And education, let's face it, we have few bigger long-term problems than a failing education system. We got our Solutionist Thinker this week, the Spark Schools chief executive, the co-founder, Stacey Brewer, to have a chat all about education, about how education can be revolutionized without breaking it first. Download this via the 702 website or the Cape Talk website or via your podcast app. And here is a clip to give you a taste of the extraordinary solutionist thinking of Stacey Brewer.
The idea for Spark definitely emerged during the MBA. I was doing my MBA in order to get a master's to then go overseas and get a decent job, in inverted commas. And my life completely changed during the MBA. I didn't realize how bad education was and how much money we were spending as a country. And from there, I did my thesis on the slow-fee private school movement that you've seen internationally, and really the ball just didn't stop rolling. I didn't have anything to lose right from the beginning. I was very fortunate to have a lot of supporters and mentors to keep it going. But it was absolutely nothing that I intended when I started my MBA. I didn't even see myself as an entrepreneur. But when I did the MBA, seeing the opportunity and how we could create this change, it was a no-brainer for me.
And Ryan Harrison, your business partner in the holding company, which is called eAdvance, were you in the same MBA class? Were you sitting in one of the groups one morning and you looked at each other and was just like,
we should do this.
So I've known Ryan for a while. We were at Rhodes University together, and he did the MBA above me. And basically, I'm not good on the tech side, and I just said to Ryan, would he be interested to come with me to the US to see some of the real pioneers in blended learning? And then he said, sure, let me, you know, come and see what we can do. When we came back, he said, I absolutely want to be involved in this full time. And then that's when the journey really started together.
There's a lot more to do. Come on that podcast. Please have a listen to it over the weekend. Give yourself a little weekend treat, Stacey Brewer. And there are lots of other solutionist thinkers there as well. You've been really positive and responsive about things like the clothing bank, for example. Dr. Jerome Loveland, who's revolutionized the way in which pediatric care is administered at Barrow Gwynedd Hospital. Dr. Royal Causa and his different way of thinking about South Africa's business issues. So many solutionist thinkers so far, and more to come. Our Make Money Monday special guest this coming week is Pieter Dirk Ace. I'm looking forward to that. But this past week was Riaan Mansa, the adventurer, the junkie, the guy who's a little bit crazy. And he's been telling us about some of the most scary experiences he has had traveling the world.
Yeah, Madagascar was probably, I'd say, that holds my record for the most prisons, imprisonment. I mean, people, right, foreigners come to Africa and they get held by the Metro Police in Seapoint and they'll write a book about it, you know, about how close they came to and they saw the white light and everything. And I have unfortunately really been to spaces where I did believe it was my last day. So it hasn't been fun, Bruce, for me to, when you said, no, where the places I've been, I flashed back to where I was in Liberia in the jungle with those drugged up kids that weren't really concerned about. We're not even talking about whether they have to hide me. I mean, the dogs would have eaten me if they'd killed me that day, 26th of February 2004, and they would have stabbed me to death. They were so high on drugs. I'm nervous now when I think of it. I try to think of how I felt that day and whether what you're getting at was I sober enough to say, is this all worth it? Because, I mean, that's what it gets to, you know. And wow, man, I got away from that, and I still remember I was determined. I remember 1 kilometer after them letting me go, 8 hours later, I calculated what speed I needed to do to catch up the hours that I'd been held by them. And I don't, you know, beat my chest and stand up in front of audiences and say, you know, I am tenacious. I proved it to myself, not to anybody. I 1 kilometer later, I calculated what I needed to make up. But I don't want to be in those risky scenarios for the rest of my life. It's not an intelligent approach.
No, it's not. But boy, it's interesting. My thanks to our Make Money Monday special guest this week, Riaan Mansa. Coming up in a moment, the Brutal Biz Quiz. You get bragging rights for the entire week. It's huge. It's wonderful. Good for you. I would like to know, please, on 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567, which South African listed company, once huge, now not so big, was founded in 1964 in a place called Westerstede, in Germany. German company origins, 1964, came to South Africa, got into the couch business, was huge, not so big. What German company is it? On the JSE.
The Money Show.
The Biz Quiz.
Quick Biz Quiz for you this evening. Which South African listed company was founded in 1964 at Westerstede in Germany? Where?
It's Steinhoff.
It is, most certainly Steinhoff. I spoke to James Brent Stein this week, the business book feature, his latest book, The Inside South Africa's Biggest Corporate Crash. Which fund manager invests on behalf of the Government Employees Pension Fund?
PIC.
The PIC, the Public Investment Corporation. Which former Pretoria kindergarten classmate of Michael Jordan? Okay, that's half the question. This guy was at nursery school with Michael Jordan. He was quoted in the New York Times this week saying, "This past year has been the most difficult and painful year of my career."
I forgot the name.
You must get it right.
No, I completely forgot.
CP, how could you get it wrong? You must get it right. How could you get it wrong? 011-883-0702. He was so good with CP. 011-883-0702. 021-446-0567. The guy who was at kindergarten, nursery school with Michael Jordan. I went through this guy's autobiography with a fine tooth comb, and he makes no mention of him. He doesn't, not once. So who is the guy who was quoted this week as saying, "This past year has been the most difficult and painful year of my career"? Me, me, me. 011-883-0702-021-446-0567.
The Money Show is brought to you by Old Mutual, a licensed financial services provider. Today's the day. Get great financial advice. Do great things.
Quick winner of the biz, because that's what we need. Desmond, I need you to tell me, please, who went to nursery school with Michael Jordan and was quoted this week saying, "This has been the worst year of my life."
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk is absolutely right. Desmond, you are the wizard of the Brutal Biz Quiz this evening. And the interview in The Times says Musk alternated between laughter and tears. Comes amidst the turmoil at Tesla, and he triggered a big scandal last week. He said he'd secured funding to take the electric car maker private, and suddenly the world is looking at him and regulators are looking at him saying, hold on a second, what are you doing? Are you bumping up the share price? Are you being honest here? And Elon Musk taking a lot of strain in the public domain. Ending on a rhyme. Oh, look, is that the time? Good night.